So our sermon topic for the day is faithfulness. And so when you think of faithfulness, what comes to mind? And so for our 11 contemporary service, I don't only ask that in a hypothetical. I actually want to hear from you. So we're doing this interactive thing as in this service where we're trying to have people text into the service to participate. So what I want you to do is there is a number on the screen, and if you're online, you can join in on this as well, 863-880-1112. And text me when you think of faithfulness, what do you think of? And I'm going to read a few during this sermon if I get some in, but you have to text them in for me to read them. So there you go. But when you think of faithfulness, if you're like me, maybe your mind jumps to Old Faithful. That is like the first thing that popped to my mind. There's a picture of it. It's a famous geyser you've probably heard of in Yellowstone National Park. So this geyser, I looked it up, it erupts at very predictable intervals, anywhere from 44 to 120 minutes apart each, never less than 44, never more than 120 for 21 years, since 2000. So it's been very faithful. Or you may think, like me, of a couple that has been faithful to each other for a very long time. So here's a very lovely throwback photo of me getting ready for my junior prom with both of my grandparents. They were faithfully married to each other for 58 years before my grandfather passed. And then another thing I think of, this is the Sunday for throwback photos. This is me also my junior year getting ready for church with my faithful dog, Sandy. So we got Sandy whenever I was going into middle school. And so that was when I started riding the bus back and forth to school every day. And so every day, very faithfully, my dog Sandy was there at the end of the driveway to walk me to the house. And you might be thinking, like, well, that's not a big deal. What's that, a couple yards? So I lived on a farm. And so it was a quarter mile from the end of the road where the driveway was back to my house. So this dog faithfully walked that quarter mile out exactly when the bus route ended to walk me back to the house every single day I went to school. She was extremely faithful. And so let's see. We got some text in. Thank you. So holding on to your belief even when you don't know the outcome. Yes, I love that. That's a really deep one of holding on to our faith even when it's hard and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. And then Meg said, a dependable, honest, and faithful person who you can count on no matter what. We all know those people in our lives. We all need those people in our lives, right? So thank you guys for sending those in. And so it's likely that some of the images of faithfulness I mentioned, some of the ones that our folks texted in, there's others that you probably have on your heart and on your mind that resonate with you. And so when we think of this idea of thankfulness or faithfulness, we think of these thoughts and we think of these images, they can bring a smile to our face and they warm our heart. I know for me, I had a smile when I was writing out the sermon and thinking of my grandparents who were no longer with me and this dog, Sandy, who is no longer with me as well. But when we talk about faithfulness as a fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness as what we do as Christians, what does that mean? So what does Christian faithfulness look like, and why does it matter anyway? So for that, we're going to dive into the book of Proverbs for some answers. Our reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible translation. My son, don't forget your instruction. Let your heart guard my commands, because they will help you live a long time and provide you with well-being. Don't let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Bind them on your neck. Write them down on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and approval in the eyes of God and humanity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Know him in all your paths, and he will keep your ways straight. Don't consider yourself wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then your body will be healthy and your bones strengthened. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will burst with wine. Don't reject the instruction of the Lord, my son. Don't despise his correction. The Lord loves those who he corrects. just like a father who treats his son with favor. So when we read through these words from Proverbs, there's some really nice words. There's a lot of phrases in there that if you've been in church for a while, you probably remember, resonate, very familiar with you. But it was really helpful for me this week to put these verses into more context. So the book of Proverbs is what we often call wisdom literature. They were wise words written down and passed to produce, well, wise living. And if that sounds kind of familiar, well, that was a sermon series that we did on the book of Proverbs before I came to be your pastor here at this church. But I digress. Why were these wise words written down in the first place, and to whom were they written for? And so the commentary I read this week shed a lot of light on this for me. We see from the scriptures that these wise teachings, they're written in the context of a mom speaking to her son. And so this mom is giving all sorts of advice to the son on how to live a wise and a proper and a fulfilled life. But these writings, I discovered that they were commonly used in a very specific era of Israelite history for a very specific purpose. So they were used a lot during the time of the Israelite exile. So this was a time when the nation of Israel had messed up. They left their land and their country in disarray. And so they were exiled away from their homeland. They had to live in a different country, Persia, and be under Persian rules. So this book of Proverbs, it ended up being read and taught and reread to young people in Israel who were learning how to maintain their heritage and their faith in a very different land. So they were learning how to be a proper and a faithful Jew in a new and a different place. They were learning how to be faithful to their religion and be faithful to their church, even when they were living away from it physically. And so we get a lot of great content here on how it is to be faithful, to follow God's instruction, to trust in the Lord, to turn away from evil, to honor the Lord by giving of your wealth and your crops. These are all good things. And so all these specific instructions seem to be centered around two key themes in a key verse, verse 3. Don't let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Bind them on your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So loyalty and faithfulness. These are the key things to hold on to be a faithful Jew in a new and a different world. So the Hebrew word here for faithfulness is emeth. And there it is on the screen, emeth. And it's a noun that in this verse is translated as faithfulness, but I looked through, and in the Bible, it's actually more often translated as truth. So the idea here is to convey stability, to convey certainty, to convey trustworthiness. Don't let that solid commitment of your faith leave you. Don't let that stable grounding of truth of your faith, don't let that leave you. Don't let this commitment to faithfulness leave you. Bind it on your neck if you have to. Write it on the tablet of your heart if you must. So when we look at it this way, we understand what faithfulness means. We see it's that stable and that steadfast commitment to something. A stable and steadfast commitment to another person, like my grandparents, that stable and steadfast commitment that my dog had to walk me back to the house every single day after school. And so when we look at faithfulness through this lens, what does a stable and steadfast commitment to our faith mean? And what does a stable and a steadfast commitment to our church mean? So the mother giving instructions, she gives us some great ideas to not forget the instructions of God, to trust in God, to look to the Lord alone for wisdom, and to share generously of our wealth. We can imagine what that would look like in the context of our Christian life today, to read our scriptures faithfully, to trust in God even when it's hard, to seek the wisdom of God alongside others by gathering here at church, and to give generously of what we have for the kingdom of God. But the deeper question for us is why. Why does all this faithfulness matter, according to the writer? Why does all this faithfulness matter in our lives today? So the author here talks about this interconnected relationship between what we get and what we give for faithfulness. She clearly draws a why for each of these actions. You follow the commands of wisdom because they will provide you with well-being. You stick to loyalty and faithfulness because you will find approval in the eyes of God and humanity. You give generously of what you have because your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will burst with wine. Now, we all know when it comes to faithfulness, there actually is no magic formula of what we give and what we get. We know that it's not like for every dollar we put in the offering plate, we magically get $2 or $3 back to us. We know that there's Christians who are very faithful, very loyal people, and yet life is hard. Bad things sometimes happen to good people, and sometimes people are just unkind. So what does this mean then? Well, given that, I would say that it means we are faithful because we know our why. We are faithful because we know our why. We give back these lives of faithfulness because we know all that we have been given. We give back loyalty and kindness and wisdom in the world because we know other people and God, they are loyal and kind and wise toward us. We trust in God, even when it's hard, even when that belief isn't easy or perfect, because we know what God has done for us. We give, we live lives of generosity because we know what God has first given to us. We give to others financially through the life of this church because we know how much this place, how much this faith, and how much this ministry means to us. So this month starts the beginning of our annual pledge campaign. And so if you're a regular attender of this church, you'll be getting a letter in the mail with financial details, the church budget, lots of very important things. And if you're online, don't worry, this information will have how to submit your pledge online as well as in person. Now, this whole process, it can seem like a formality, but yes, it is so incredibly important because we as a church, we can't in good faith set a budget if we don't have some estimate of giving from our congregation. We would not be being faithful to you if we did that. But we also understand that this whole thing is just an estimate on everyone's end. Please know that it's not a bill that anyone will be chasing after you over. But for today, let's not go any further into the logistics of our annual pledges than that. Let's start, like our scripture tells us, let's start by focusing on the why. Let's remember why we are so faithful to this place. Let's start by remembering why this place and this ministry and our faith is so important to us. Why our giving makes such a huge difference in our church and in our community and in our world. And so this is your chance to text in again. There's the number back up on the screen, 863-880-1112. I would love to hear stories from you all. So these will be, you got some more time this time. I'm going to hopefully read a couple of these during the benediction because I want to hear from you what this church means to you, why this church, you are faithful to it. So it may be the care you received during a difficult time in your life. It may be the fellowship of your own small group. It may be purpose you found by plugging in to serve. It may be just the hope and the joy you receive from our worship services, or maybe it's something else entirely. So I know for me, one of the reasons why this place is special and important to me is because I don't think a lot of people realize it at the time, but this church was an important part of my husband and I actually staying in Florida after I graduated seminary. So we had just moved here in the summer of 2015 from Kentucky, didn't know a soul. He was working in Orlando and I was working in Tampa, and so we loved our jobs. We love the people at our jobs, but if anyone has ever done that commute, you know, it's hard to find community and hang out with people after work when they live over an hour from your actual house. So my husband had this idea. He said, well, let's try to find a small group at the Methodist church here in town, which we found First Church, found Warren Pattinson, and he actually got us connected to Jeremy Hearn's small group. And so those group of people are still our good friends here today. We still encourage one another. We still pray for one another. Our kids play together. We're growing in our faith together. It's a beautiful thing. And so that is my personal why of being faithful to this place. And I want to hear yours. I want you to think about your why. Go back to the basics. Reset. Go to square one. Think about the reasons why you love this place and remain faithful to it. Think about the reason of your faith, why your faith means so much to you and why you remain steadfast in it. And let that why be the core of your faithfulness. Let that why be the reason why you remain faithful and steadfast in your faith. Let it be the reason why you write faithfulness on your forehead and write faithfulness on your heart. Will you close in prayer with me? Gracious and most generous God, we are thankful for all you have first given to us. We are grateful for our many blessings and for the life and the hope and the peace we have experienced in communion with you and with this faith community. May we hold on to that why in the days and the weeks and the months and even years ahead. And may we let that why become the center of a renewed commitment of our faithfulness to this place and God, more importantly, to you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who texted in. Thank you to everyone who joined us for worship this morning. So there's a lot of good stories in here, a lot of stories about the care that people got while they were in the hospital, about appreciating the worship service and the openness. But I want to read one response in particular because I feel like this one summarizes it all. What does this church mean? It means being welcomed with open arms no matter who you are. It means finding others who want to share their lives with you and support you. It means seeing pastors, staff, and volunteers who serve every week because they can't keep God's love in their heart. They have to let it overflow. It means finding opportunities to connect and serve wherever you're uniquely gifted. This church means joining a family. This church is home. And so we give thanks to God for that. And we renew our faithfulness and our service to God because of that. So I invite you, as you go this week, carry that why in your heart, bind it on your heart, and let that be the center and the core of a renewed commitment to the faithfulness of our God and Savior. Amen.